The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hello, everyone. My name is Macarena Saez. I'm the director of the International JD Dual Degree Program. As you know, WCL started 2 years ago, three innovative, very innovative programs, and JD Dual Degree Program with Ottawa, with the University of Ottawa in Canada, a JD dual degree program with the University of Alfonso X en Sabio in Spain, and an equivalent program with the University of Paris 10 Nanterre in France. By enrolling in these programs, you have the opportunity of practicing law in two different jurisdictions. You spend the first 2 years of your law career here at WCL, and the last 2 years, that means it's a four-year program, at either of these places, Ottawa, Paris, or Madrid. At the end of the 4 years, you would get the JD from WCL, and you would get the JD equivalent degree from the host institution. In the case of Ottawa, it's the LLB. That degree will allow you to practice law as any other graduate from the University of Ottawa. That means that if you have to do any other requirement to practice law, you will have to go through those requirements as well. But there are no additional requirements for you just because you're enrolled in this program or because you are American. It's exactly the same things that any other Canadian law student would have to do. In the case of Canada, I think there is an auditing process, and it varies from province to province. So you have to do your homework of what is it that you want to do. With Spain, you get the licenciatura en Derecho. It's the JD equivalent. You become an abogado. And at least until now, and this may be changing in the future, there is no bar exam in Spain. So you finish your 2 years, and that is it. You have to enroll in a bar association, but it's more of a formal process than a substantive process where you have to write an exam or do an internship or a practice or apprenticeship or anything of that nature. In the case of France, you study the 2 years, and I will go more in depth with the French program in a little while because it's a little bit different than the others too. It's it's not a dual degree program, it's a three-degree program, basically, because you get the JD and you get the Master 1, which is the degree that is equivalent to the JD, and it's the one that will allow you to sit for the French bar, and that is only 1 year program, and after finishing that 1 year program, the Master 1, you're eligible to enroll in a Master 2, which is a specialization, and that is it's a highly prestigious degree in France. And you can either, and it's in a specialization, so you can do it in international business law, administrative law, and whatever are the areas that NAPIA would offer, which is like about 10 by now. And you would have to sit for the bar anyway if you do the Master 1. And that is a little bit difficult. I don't have any standard explanation of how that goes because it varies. It depends very much whether you are a international lawyer, I mean, you're a foreign lawyer or not, and so we'll go in detail in a little longer. I also want to introduce to you Malika Levarle and Pierre Lancelin. They are graduates from Nanterre, and they are current JD dual degree students at WCL. Malika is in her second year here. Pierre just started this year, and I want to introduce you also Juan Manuel Quesada. He's a graduate of Alfonso X en Sabio, and he was an LLM last year here at WCL, so he's a WCL alum by now. And they will give you more information about how the student life goes there and what happens in those places, basically. Any questions so far? All right. So I don't know if Pierre and Malika can talk a little bit about France and the program at Nanterre.
Sure. So first thing, if you have any questions, you can email me. I'm sure Pierre will be happy to answer your question as well. It's an amazing program. So last year I was the first one to do the JD here. What you need to know about studying in France is that it's a completely different system. That what is good about this program is going to have like a broad an international legal culture. It's a civilized system. The classes, the law, everything is different. So to go and study over there in France, and you will find some similarities to study in Spain, is that you will have a step in the civilized system, you have a step, and you have like the material to understand how the other part of the world legal community is working, which will give you an incredible asset if you want to work somehow in international law. It will give you a general culture and other tools to understand law and even more your common law system, because we have much in common. The classes are organized a very different way. You don't have readings prior to your class. You do have a manual you refer to where you go. If you sit in class, you take notes. You have a lecture, you have a professor teaching you, you take notes, then you go back to your manual, you go more in depth, you have homeworks to do, you have assignments, and you have finals at the end of the semester. We don't start by studying cases, that's the main difference. However, cases are still like a huge tool, so you will start by studying the theory and the history where the concepts are from, which will give you another approach, which sometimes here is lacking, I feel. I mean, the common law system is very practical. Civil law system is a little more theoretical, but at the end, because you have like your first experience here, you'll get the two approaches complete very well each other. So after studying some of the theory, then you will use cases to just like solve problems, legal problems. Once you have a step in Europe, then you have a like broad market open to you. So that's also something you should keep in mind. It won't be limited to France. It'll be broader to Europe and all the civil law countries. So again, I think it's an amazing experience to be able to go study abroad. Again, the fact that you're going to stay 2 years and not one will give you enough time to perfect your language skills. If you're not perfectly fluent when you arrive, I was not fluent in English when I arrived here. I struggle a little, and still now. But you make amazing progress, and the fact that you're staying 2 years enable you to like really take advantage of your presence in the country. Moreover, the University of Paris 10 is not in Paris itself, it's right outside, because the city is limited in size, and there are like tons of university, a lot of students. It's much larger than WCL. It's one of the biggest French universities, which from the American point of view doesn't mean anything, because your universities are gigantic, but it's one of the larger campuses outside Paris. But you have access to Paris very easily. There's a train during the liaison. So it's not like you're in the city itself, but you're like really close to it. You can live in Paris. And Paris is an amazing city. It's my favorite one, actually. So do not hesitate if you have any question, if I didn't cover everything you were thinking about. Go ahead.
Everything has been said so well. I just want to add that Nanterre, when you arrive, may look surprising compared to the way it is in the US, but it's a great university and there are many, many opportunities. There are many associations. You can do a lot of things in Nanterre, and I really loved it. I went there for 4 years, and I really loved it.
The educational system is public, and so the university doesn't get the same funding as here. So the buildings don't look that good. They're not brand new. But you have amazing professors, you have really, really good faculties, and so you don't have to stop to that, it's just a different system.
Do you want to add anything else, Pia, or is that okay? Juan Manuel?
Hi, I'm Juan Manuel from Spain. As you said, I just graduated. And I don't have much to add about the legal system and everything to do with the classes. I mean, it's quite similar. We don't do so many readings, more civil law. But I would like to talk about my university, because it's, if you're thinking about going to Europe, I mean, universities are 99% of the countries in Europe are all public, but mine is one of the first ones in Spain that went private. So it's quite different to the others. I think in Spain is the closer you can get to WCO. I mean, small classes, the buildings are not so good, but they're bad. And the contact with the teacher is permanent. I would say also you have a lot of things like, for instance, the second year or third year. I mean, for Spanish students, but for you, you can do internships, with the
university. The second year.
Second year.
Yeah.
They look for internships for you. I mean, it's not exactly the American system, but it's, in Spain it's the closer you can be. Because if not, I mean, I don't know if you know it, but in Europe, if you don't go to a place like that, I don't know how it works. You know, but that means 200 people per class, and it's really different. And what else? Also, I think it's not exactly Madrid, it's like 50 minutes away from us. It's like an American campus also. You can see the photos in the brochure. And it's fine, it's perfect, because it's small village, it's only for students, it's not only law students, you have students from like 15 or 20 different bachelors. And you always have Madrid 50 minutes away. That it's not as pretty as Paris, it's true, but we have more parties. And also you have my email for whichever question. I don't want to talk too much, because the secrets about Madrid and all that I can tell you.
Any questions?
What is the average age of the students, I guess, finishing Masters 1 in both of your universities?
We don't go to college in France, so we go straight to law school right after.
So they're a lot younger.
So they will be like around 24, 25.
So they may be older than 22 because most of them like repeat the second or the first year, and you arrive. And generally, the average after high school is like 19. So it's not uncommon to see people like 24.
Yeah.
Don't worry, don't be among teenagers.
It's very interesting, but it's true that they are much younger. Usually, the first year they are around 18 or 19.
Yeah, you don't have like the same range of here when you can have people who come straight from college and people who have worked before. Like usually in Europe what you do is you study and then you find a job, because there's no real opening before you actually get a degree. So you do law school and then you actually go on the market.
Unfortunately, I can't have we have currently three students from the University of Ottawa here, but they couldn't come actually because I didn't tell them on time, so it's my it's not them. And the University of Ottawa, the system is pretty similar to the American system. The program is it's run by the Common Law section of the University of Ottawa. So it's basically there are not that many differences. The students are the same age difference. There is a college education before coming all the degrees, LLB, and so it would. Sometimes it confuses people thinking that it's an undergrad degree as well. It's not. So the age, there is no much of an age difference. There is also not much of a curriculum difference means that you also have more flexibility there, because some of the courses that you have to take here count toward your mandatory curriculum or the required courses that you have to take in Ottawa. So you still have a little bit more freedom to take things that you would like to take in Ottawa. Talking about the difference of age, it is a little bit different in Spain than in France, because with the French program, the students who are interested in the French program, what happens is that you get there and enroll in the last year of the master program in France. So you will be basically in classes with students who are in their last year. With the Spain program, it's a little bit different because the curriculum is very strict in Spain. It's a 5-year mandatory curriculum. You don't choose much. So our students, we have to come up with a mandatory curriculum of 2 years where you would concentrate most of what the other students took in 5. And so that means that many of the courses that you will be enrolled in are first or second year courses. So you do have an age difference there with your classmates. Now, sometimes that matters, sometimes that it doesn't matter that much. It depends on the personalities, on the group, on the friends, on how you take that experience. So I really can't say much about how difficult that the age factor makes it or not. We don't have much experience also to tell you all in the last 10 years, because that's not the case. We only have the first group of students are starting their second year there. We have 3 students starting the second year there, and we have 2 students starting the first year there. So we really don't know much about how this will develop. and it very much depends on each personality, I think.
But you won't have any problem making friends on Skynet.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of it.
No, it's true. It's true that for some of you it's going to be a shock to get into a class and be with people that are 18 years old. They're just thinking about partying. The average law student in Europe, the first year at least, it's not like here. When you arrive to the law school, you already have party enough during your bachelor, so you are more focused. But besides that, if you are looking for networking and all that stuff, you have the teachers. They are very young, at least in Spain. They can help you a lot. And then, Madrid, you have so many universities where you will have to go, to look for a book, to wherever, and if you are smart enough to look out inside, but also outside, then you have as many opportunities as here for network.
Regarding language skills, with the University of Ottawa, the program is organized with the English section of the common law section. So you don't have to be fluent in any other language than your own, which I assume you all are. And with France and Spain, you do have to be fluent in French and in Spanish and for each of the programs. How fluent is always a question that is very recurrent that I receive a lot from students. And we don't have a specific test equivalent to the TOEFL that you have to take for us to assess your language skills. We assume that if, for example, you're a French major, you, in the last 3 or 4 years, you would be okay. However, the statement of interest in the application for each of the programs, the statement of interest has to be written in Spanish and in French, respectively. So that is also a way for you to self-assess if you're capable of writing a coherent one-page statement of interest. That means that you might be able of making it. We, if necessary, we require or we set up interviews with you also in Spanish or in French to assess how is your language skills. But more than talking in the language, it's very important that your writing and your reading comprehension in that language is very good. So, for example, if you've learned to talk in Spanish, for example, because you spent 6 months abroad, but you never had formal education in Spanish, so you really don't know how to read in Spanish. You can manage a very, informal conversation, but you wouldn't be able of writing in Spanish, and you need a dictionary to understand the plot of a book, for example. That would not be enough. You could not be up to a good point a year and a half later. You have 18 months from the moment of the application to the moment where you would be going to master your language abilities, but you can only do so much. And many students think that, a year and a half is a lot of time, but it's a lot of time. In that year and a half, you will be a full-time law student. And not only a regular full-time law student, a law student who wants to do as much as possible before leaving. So you will not have much spare time to master your language skills. So be careful on that. Yes?
So the universities there don't require you, like Spain doesn't require you to take the DELE or the DALF for Nanterre?
No.
It's not, you don't need that in order to graduate or to get your dual degree? Okay.
If you apply directly to those schools, that would be the case. But because this is an agreement between both schools, we waive those requirements. The students, so you don't have to comply with all their admission regulations. They rely on our cross-selection, and we rely on them, although, of course, we have some saying in who's coming, and they have some saying in who would be going to those places, but it usually works well. Yes?
I was just wondering, with the practical advantages of getting the JD equivalent as opposed to, like, an LLM equivalent would be, and in terms of, broader applicability, what the differences are and the advantages to doing the JD?
I will refer a little bit more about who should be applying to this and why, and then I will talk about what are the advantages of one and the other. I always tell students the dual degree programs are very different than any other study abroad opportunity that you can think of. you have semester abroad and you have summer abroad. And these opportunities, in my opinion, are a win-win situation, and every single student should take advantage of those opportunities, because that exposes you a little bit, at least, to a different culture. That gives you a sense of how others are thinking of your own system. It gives you a little perspective on your own system as well. And at the same time, you learn a little bit about a different culture. With the dual degrees program, is different, and it's not a win-win situation. So it's not for everyone. The dual degree program, it's a great opportunity because you would be immersed in a different culture, but at the same time, you will be missing 1 year of opportunities here at WCL. So you have to really think of what is it that you want to do. Why is it that you want to do these dual degree programs? Whether the desire that you have to live abroad for 2 years and get this degree, it's worth the year that you will be missing here. For some students it is, definitely. For some, it's not. What is the advantage of having the two degrees of lawyer, basically, being able of practicing law here and being able of practicing in Spain? There are different, you can see it in different ways. You have formal advantages. You have two formal markers that say that you know law. You have a JD that it's, you know, the degree in itself is a formal marker that says to employers, I know substantive law. I have gone through a curriculum. I have passed all the requirements. Therefore, I know law. You don't have to test me. You don't have to ask me much. I present the paper, and the paper suffices to tell you that I know law. Well, it's the same, you know, with a licenciatura en Derecho or with a Master A or with an LLB. It tells others that you know substantive law from another country. So from a formal point of view, you do have two formal markers to show. Why is it that you need them? Well, it depends on what you want to do. For example, if you want to work abroad, if you want to work in Europe, maybe having these two tools would be very beneficial. If you want to work in an area where the use of the continental legal system and the use of the common law system are important, then doing these two dual degrees, having these two tools, it's very important. It will be very useful. So those are the most direct and visual benefits of doing these programs. Now, in the long run, I think that the students who are prepared in two different jurisdictions should perform much better than students who are prepared in only one, because you are capable of understanding the legal mind of a different culture. So that's something that you cannot get from opening a comparative law book or talking to a different lawyer or visiting a place. You need to immerse yourself in that culture and study with the students who are going to be local lawyers. You become a local lawyer, actually. So you understand the rationale behind the laws. You understand why the bills are drafted in the way that are drafted, why the letters are so long compared to a short memo in the U.S., where the shortness is so valuable, and in continental legal system, shortness is not valuable necessarily. It's better to be a little bit, you know, to articulate more and more. More paragraphs sometimes get a better way than short paragraphs, for example. Why is it that it's done that way? If you just look at it, or if you will be advising a foreign country in, for example, how to articulate a new constitution, maybe the knowledge of how different systems would be really viable. Because you would understand, well, maybe the Supreme Court, as I understand it, does not make any sense in the way that works in other countries. So I have to be very careful if I'm going to advise a new government on how to draft a constitution, in not to just say, oh, well, in the U.S. works really well, so let's go ahead and do exactly the same. If you know how things work in another culture, it's much better for you to understand it, and you should perform much better as a professional. But not everyone needs that tool, and not everyone will be doing that. So you, at the end, each student has to balance whether it's good for them to be moving out of WCL after the second year and missing a lot of opportunities. Sometimes clinical programs will not be available for these students. Student journals will not be available for these students. So it is kind of a loss, depending on how you look at it. The other point that I always stress about this is that you have to be a little bit of a risk taker. We don't have enough information on how employers will take these dual degree students. It looks great from an intellectual point of view. Whether this is a practical thing and employers will, you know, rush to hire you and offer you a 10% more than what they will offer to a young associate, we don't know, and usually it's not that the case. It's not the case necessarily with those schools that have older programs like Cornell and Columbia. So you have to be willing to take some risks here. And the peer pressure is very strong as well. So you have to be very, you know, committed to say, well, I am really sure that I want to do this. I don't mind if all my other classmates are really scared because they don't seem to be getting the summer associate positions, and I won't even be able of thinking of that because since I will not have, you know, I can't be hired after the third year. I will be studying after the third year. Maybe that I am not very attractive to a law firm right away. So you have to be a little bit capable of thinking out of the box. And I am not saying that as saying, well, if you're not a risk taker, that's a bad thing. It really depends on each student. Sometimes taking risks is a good thing, sometimes it's not that smart. So you have to balance what you want to do. Any questions? Yes.
Theoretically speaking, in Europe, why would this degree be marketable? Why would they hire American students who have only had 2 years of study in Europe when they can hire European law students who have been there for 5 years and probably speak the language better?
Well, because those students who've had 5 years don't know anything about American law. And depends on the area that you want to work. It's very attractive to have a person who can really know their way in both systems. So for a local firm that is doing, for example, Wilson Trust in France, maybe you're not that marketable. You will enter in the same bundle than any other regular student. But maybe for a firm that's doing, you know, international arbitration, or it's working in big property cases where the clients are American, having this person who can build a bridge between those two cultures, it's very attractive. I don't think, and I've talked about this with the director of the program in Colombia. The graduates from the Columbia Law School has a similar program. It's 2 years in Colombia and 2 years in France. And she tells me that there's graduates tend to stay for a couple of years in France and come back to the U.S. I confirm this. My thought was that probably you would not be hired because, for example, in the United States, as the French lawyer who will deal with the French case and the French business, basically. You will be hired as the American lawyer who can deal with the French local counsel that they will hire. So you can really understand what's going on and what that local counsel is doing, and you can really talk to that person and understand what's going on. And you know that you can't really, you know, get the phone and say, hi, what's happening with the case? You have to say, hey, how's the family? And how is the weather there? And then, hey, how's the case going? You know because you've been there. That will not, you can't get it from a book. You had another question.
Yes, just as a practical matter, whether you would take the American bar in the summer after your third year while you're still in school abroad, or whether you would wait until after your fourth year. When do you plan for that?
Well, we have in total 6 students abroad, 3 students in France and 3 students in Spain. 3 students took the bar after the third year, and 3 students will take it after the fourth year. So WCL gives that chance to students. You are, so far, we've given the opportunity to students to either graduate after the third year from WCL and go back to the host schools as WCL graduates, or remain as WCL graduate. The difference is basically in matter of numbers. When you graduate, you have to start repaying your loans, and you are not eligible for more financial aid. If you don't graduate, you are eligible for financial aid from WCL for your living expenses during the fourth year. There are no tuition charges related to the fourth year of the program. So there is no tuition. You don't have to pay any tuition. It's a three-year tuition just as any other, as the regular JD program. But you do are eligible for financial aid for living expenses during the fourth year. So that is where the difference comes. The three students who graduated precisely because they wanted to take the bar after the third year, because they were afraid that they were going to mean to forget the things that they had studied. I talked to the director of the Columbia program, and she says that they haven't seen any difference of results from the students who did their program. So apparently, you don't get a speeding amnesia for doing this program, and you lose everything that you had in your head, and you perform really badly if you take the bar after the fourth year. Whether it's better for you to take the bar in the U.S. bar and then take the host country bar in the case of France, actually, or do the articling process in the case of Ottawa. In Spain, again, there is no bar admission yet. That very much depends. And there used to be a very convenient equivalency test for foreign lawyers in France. So you would take the New York bar, for example, and go back as a foreign lawyer and apply not as a as a graduate of a master's student and take the Paris bar, for example. You would go as a foreign lawyer and take the equivalency test, and you would get then the title of avocado, I assume, or the avocado, right? The bar, so the French Bar Association has been restricting this opportunity every year more and more. So whatever I say in this about this may change the next year. And actually, we don't even have set information on how this thing works, really. I know that there is still some type of equivalency test, but instead of, before you were assessed in 3 out of the 10 subject matters, let's say, now you're assessed in 8 out of 10 or things like that. It's not that convenient. I will take your question, and then if you want to add anything about this, yes.
Okay, well, 2 things. First, if you only do for the Nanterre program, if you only want to do the Masters 1 and not the Masters 2, is that 1 year less? Yes, so you'd spend 3 years.
Yes, you would spend 3 years if you don't want to do the master. It is possible. However, I think that it's highly recommendable to do both, because you spend 2 years there. You get the specialization, which is very hard to get enrolled in the specialization. Maybe, I don't know if Pierre Malika can say something about that, because my experience is that it's highly prestigious, and if you have the master does. That was called before the DSS.
I mean, you cannot, in most area of, in Paris, you cannot practice, find a job in a law firm if you don't have a master.
This is my next question is, don't you have to do another class prépa for a year before you can take the bar?
Well, that's the thing.
So after your 4 years, you do another year to prepare for the bar?
It depends on many different kinds of what you prepare, how long, and when you're planning to take it, if you're studying for 5 years, you can prepare during the summer. People do that. The bar is in September, so you can work during the summer, prepare the bar. Depends how comfortable you feel, how much time and money you want to spend.
It's not mandatory to take the...
It's not like Barbara here. There's much more people in France not taking those private classes than here.
But you have to enroll in a school within the school, which is EEG. That already give you preparation, and last year some friend of mine did their maîtrise at the same time they were doing EUG.
So then they didn't do DSS after?
Once you have the bar, I think you can postpone your admission in the bar school and do your DSS and then go to the bar school.
Yeah, the advantage you have by going through this exchange program is that you are not going through the very selective process. Like, French students want to apply for this DSS, which is now
the Master 2, the specialization. It's a national competition, basically. Like, you're assessed on your grade since your first day of law school and everything that you can put in your in your application. So you don't go through that, so it gives you access to a good diploma.
Those are not the requirements.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were saying that most of the students end up practicing over there for maybe a couple, two, three, four years, and then do come back here, what would be the advantage of this program as opposed to just plain having, and then they end up being basically just the contact with local counsel or whatever in whatever firm they end up working in back in the States?
Yeah.
What would be the advantage of doing this extra program as opposed to completing a really solid American degree and just having an excellent knowledge? I don't know, I mean, I'm assuming most of us already have a very good knowledge of whatever country we'd want to go to, either by having gone there for undergraduate studies or by having lived there or by having dual citizenship, as is my case, or whatever. How much of this would be an added asset, and would it really, like, how much more does it give me as opposed to just getting a really solid WCL degree and happening to know a lot about France and the French?
Well, yeah.
I think that if you mm-hmm. want to jump in.
I think that your formation is going to be more solid if you go abroad. The third year of WCL, after what I know, is all electives. So, for example, if you have an international profile, you're going to take, as I did here with my other international venture capital, wherever. I mean, instead of doing that, you go to study there, you know, with a different perspective, Spain, France, wherever. And, I mean, your formation, you know, is going to be 10 times more solid than if you stay here, you know, and on the other hand, it depends on, I think that this program depends on what you want to do. You just want to be a lawyer in Ohio or wherever. Ohio, no.
One of the selected students is from Ohio, so the students who will be going next year.
And be a class action lawyer and a lot of money, okay, I mean, it doesn't worth it. So you want to have, I mean, I don't know, you want to travel, you want to be in charge of doing international things, having a meeting in Paris and another meeting in London, and then going back to New York and I don't know, I mean, it depends on what you want to do with your life.
Yeah, but plain American lawyers can do that, too. That's
it depends
on...
Well,
that's the thing. I think
Sorry, the big difference now is that every big law firm, American big law firm, has offices in Paris, Madrid, and London. But the people that is working there, usually they are not American. They are local people. It happened to me when I went to NYU job fair. I mean, I get all my interviews with American law firms to go back to Spain. So, I mean, even if you get to a very big law firm, don't expect to go to Paris with your law degree from WCL. I mean, it can happen. But there are going to be people from Paris there. But you're going to have the chance to be working. You can choose. I mean, you can choose if you want to work in Paris, if you want to Madrid, Washington, New York.
And then I'll have a follow-up question about that, and then I'll be quiet. It's just that if we go into the third year, and basically taking what would be similar courses because they would be similar material, international trade, etc., how it would still be very different because we have the common law experience and not the civil law experience. How easy is the transition? And
it's
like,
not that hard. I think about here.
Well, once you're in specialized class, I mean, you have like the background. You will go there with 2 years of law school. You have learned to rig cases. It would be different, and that's what is good about it too. I mean, you will emerge in a new legal culture, so that will be challenging. You will be back in law school, and for maybe it will be frustrating in the beginning because you have to relearn how to read a case because you don't read a case the same way. You have to learn to write a memo. You have to learn to write a legal analysis won't be the same. But that is what is challenging. That is how you're going to market that, then it depends exactly what you want to do. You don't have to be only the counselor or the person in charge of one client. You can work in an international organization. You have the ability to understand the worldwide legal culture, which is something good. I mean, you're going to be able to interact with pretty much anybody in your firm. And it doesn't mean that if you have a French or a Spanish degree, you will be only able to interact with French or Spanish.
have Europe. I mean, if you're working in a law firm in the US, you're very likely going to do business with Europe. Then you're going to have the background to actually be effective from the US or over there if you want to stay. It depends where you want to do.
And in our case, you have Latin America also, with all my respect. I mean,
it's
based, I mean,
true.
It depends on the country, but many countries from Latin America, I mean, their civil code and many codes are based on the Spanish one.
Mm-hmm.
It's different, but I mean,
if you are
more for business law, and it's for sure that any law firm here has clients in Latin America, they're going to choose someone that has gone as well degree with Spain, rather than someone that just graduated from a law school in Washington.
I just want to add that I think that you have a really good question, because that's precisely what everyone who's interested in this program should be thinking. What is it that I will benefit the most? And it depends on how focused you are on what you want to do. Because, for example, if what you want to do is purely international public law, for example, and when I say international public law, I'm thinking specifically, for example, in human rights, you want to work in an international organization that deals with international human rights. Well, maybe knowing a lot about continental law and being able of, you know, filing a case of divorce law in Spain or doing a, writing a will in Spain might not be of any use to you. Maybe then you should really be specializing here, because if you're considering on working on an international organization, maybe the networking will be easier here also than in Europe. But if you're considering on working in international human rights abroad and you would like to work in that environment, for example, you're considering specifically, let's say, you know, students are very diverse. They have really some of the students I work with, I talk to, they are very focused. I want to work in immigration law between France and other countries and Islamic immigration within France, for example. Well, maybe then to become a lawyer in France, it's more valuable than all the knowledge that you have, theoretical knowledge that you get for doing the third year enrolling in human rights courses here in WTCL. So it very much depends on what you want to do. There is no standard answer as to whether it's better to specialize here during the third year or go and get the tool. It very much depends, yes.
And so what about not just deciding whether it's better to stay here or to go there, but deciding between programs, if you want to go to France or Spain?
France.
No, if you're interested in maybe doing work between the US and Europe, does it make more sense to have a degree from Nanterre?
Then you have to think about different factors that are not related to law, for example. Do you have family abroad? Do you have the possibility of getting the European passport because you may be able of getting the French nationality or getting the Spanish nationality? If your interest is in Latin America, maybe Spanish. Spain is better because Spain has many agreements with Latin American countries where your degree from Spain is equivalent to a degree in, let's say, Ecuador. So you go to Ecuador, you go to the Ministry of Education and say, I'm a Spanish lawyer, and they will grant you the Ecuadorian degree because they have reciprocity agreements. So it very much depends on what you want to do. Whether you like one culture more than another, it very much varies. What is it? And where you're more fluent than others.
Language skills is also...
Okay.
That is a big issue. Unless you are capable of being fluent in English, French, and Spanish, you should take the program where you can speak the best language.
Okay.
Because as far as France is concerned, you will arrive in fourth year. That means that you will be studying with people who have 3 years of law in background. So they won't explain I don't think you would like French law 101.
No.
So if you have to this language problem, it will be a nightmare, to be honest.
It's been a little bit challenging for some of our students who were majoring in French, who had no problem talking, and yet for writing it was very difficult. So it is a major consideration. Common one.
I wanted to ask, following your question, that for example right now I'm working for the World Bank. I'm writing a paper about the idea of applying the lobbying system to the United States in Peru. For example, many people at the World Bank can do that. I mean, but it isn't it better for someone that has the civil law background and a little bit of knowledge, as much as an LLM can give you, about the American system, to do that paper than someone that has studied 3 years here? For me,
it's the best example right now if working in Washington, but that can be applied, I'm sure, to many, many other things regarding the business world. And regarding Spain compared to France, no, Europe is Europe, so, I mean, it's not so different. It is.
True.
Once you get your degree and you accept to any bar association in Madrid or Paris, I mean, it's not so complicated to go abroad, even London or Germany, to work. But, again, Spain, you don't have to do the bar exam by now. But they have been trying to change that 20 years ago. And I don't know if they're gonna do it, but that's a big advantage. And the second thing is also what you feel more like. I mean, Spain is a bridge between Europe and Latin America. So, do you really like? I think if you really want to work 100% with France, with Europe, stay with France. But if you want to work a little bit with Europe, a little bit with Latin America, go for Spain.
Before we go on, I want to introduce James Gatman. He's our University of Ottawa student here. He started at WPL this year, and. When we started, Malik, Gabriel, and Juan Manuel gave a little 3-minute presentation on their own experience at back in their home countries, how's the education. And if you could, James, give a little background on the University of Ottawa, and how was your experience there, how different you find it from this
system. Okay, well, I guess overall I'm going to say there are a lot of similarities between, I guess, America and Ottawa. Canada and the U.S. not really that different. Legal system also similar. If you come to Ottawa, you will still be doing common law.
Yes.
The option to do common law.
No, they can roll in the national school afterwards.
Okay. We do have a national program where you can do both common and civil law. If you want to practice your French, you can also take French common law courses or French civil law courses as well. So you have that option. Overall, I'd say the law school is probably a little more relaxed. You won't have people in the library in September. Like when you showed up here, the library was packed, which is probably similar to what they told you about the European schools. Ottawa, I guess, primarily we're known for our technology law, our international law, and rights law. So it's probably similar to the other schools. We probably tied in with internationally based schools. Okay. So if you wanted to practice those types of things, I mean, it's another capital city, so you know, similar to Washington and the other cities as well. You know, academics, you know, it's an excellent school, you know, also good socially. You have, I think, at the beginning, like our orientation week, you have a lot of, you know, things with students going out. Well, here they didn't necessarily have that, so in a sense, like, they're more welcoming to begin with. It's a more of a friendlier atmosphere to start. I mean, America is very friendly, but I think at the beginning, they try to push you all together and try to get you all to be really good friends to start with. Do you guys have any questions?
I think one of the advantages also of the Ottawa DC program, basically, WCL, the University of Ottawa program, is that you really get a very deep understanding, comparative understanding of the common law system. And I am sure that as a lawyer, no matter what area, you will be dealing with Canada. And having a good understanding of the Canadian culture and how being so nearby, they are so different in the rational and the way that they think, it's just a tremendous advantage. And I don't know, maybe because these are new programs, and of course I have more inquiries about France and Spain, but I expect having more and more students approaching the WCL because of the Ottawa program. I think it's just a great opportunity. And in my experience, the people at the University of Ottawa are just wonderful from any point of view. They are so flexible, so welcoming. They are really good people. It's not that in France and Spain has not been the case. But they are really nice as well, and I've made very good friends in both places. But it's not a problem. It's not a thing of individuals. It's more of an institution. It's an institutionalized environment of welcoming and being receptive to your needs, and very flexible, very laid back in that sense, like really understanding. So I think you should consider that as well.
add on to what Matt Corrina just said, I mean, we do certain cases where basically the facts are the same, and then, you know, the analysis will be completely different from the outcome, the case will be different. And I'll be sitting there, I'll be like, we did this exact same case last year, and the result is the opposite. And I found that, you know, that happens often, and it's basically the same law. It's just, you know, your interpretation, I guess, of being a little more liberal, and you'll get a completely different result.
That's not a fun question. Yes. Can you talk about the experience of going to school in your second language and how you, either one of you, how you deal with professors and grading and not understanding things as well as you do in your primary language?
Okay. My English, in my was 10 times worse than now. In my entire class. The WCL is, at least for the LLMs, it's quite easy because, for example, they give you an extra work for every exam you do. And as soon as you lose that kind of complex for your accent and everything is okay, and it's a total immersion here. In Spain, the opposite way, after what I know, it's going to be something similar. They're very flexible, you're going to do a lot of seminars just with the teacher. I mean, three of you, the three American students, for example, with the teacher, make sure that you will have, you need extra time for the exam, you will have it. And the most important thing is that young people is meant to speak English. But, I mean, the immersion is going to be total. I mean, it's not that you're going to find 20 Americans every time you go out. Like, here, every time I go out, I find people, you know. Every Latin America, so if I would have wanted to, I could have speak for a whole year in Spanish. But that's not going to happen, you know.
Well, it's definitely challenging, but that's part of what you're looking for when you're going, right? Except if you're like, even if you're really fluent, you've never been studying law abroad, so you're definitely going to have issues. But if you're ready for that, if you accept it, if you're humble enough, and again, it doesn't mean that it's easy, it can be frustrating, but you have a huge learning curve, right? You start, and you might be really like tense and depressed the first month, but you have a huge learning curve, and everything's going to be new, you're going to absorb a lot, and you're going to surprise yourself. And again, it's a total immersion, so you're making a lot of progress. You just have to be ready to accept that you're going to have to learn everything. You know, you're going to work on your language, you're going to have to learn the law as well. As to with the professor, it's different. There's less personal relationship with professors, but you have to create that. That's where you're like kind of a pioneer. You're going to have to go and bridge the frontier. You're going to have to go and explain to them what is your situation. Whereas here, a professor open their door and like welcome you and understand are very flexible. They might not be exactly like that in France because they're not used to it. That's in the high speed. Then the institution itself is different. But you're going to have to go and push that. And they'll be responsive. Like the students who were there, the American students, so from WCL who are now studying in France, they face those issues, but they like come up with like creative solutions. Just you just have to be ready to adjust, and then you make a lot of progress. Again, your first semester might be the worst, but it can only be better after, you know. And that's where it's good to stay 2 years and not only one, because you're going to reach the point where you actually feel comfortable, you understand the people, you understand where you are, the system, and you can take really advantage of your second year. That's why I feel here that the first year was really like intensive learning in the language, and that the second year is just much more comfortable on everything.
One of the things, even with three countries, and I think this is one of the high points of the program, is that for many of you, this would be the first time where you will be the minority, culturally speaking. You will be, you know, used to certain things that nobody else does. That is in itself already a great advantage that puts you in perspective of how different things are in different countries, and it gives you a better understanding also of why things happen the way that happen. So I think that's very important. There was a question, yes.
I just had a question about the employment realities for, I guess, citizenship requirements post graduation. At the job fairs, is it going to be an obstacle that I'm a U.S. citizen? But I know that it's pretty restrictive on a high unemployment rate that is currently in Europe. So, you know, will that bar me from the fact that I'm getting a job, or will I have to get it through an American firm and get sponsored out there?
Well, it is risky, as it is risky for the students who are coming. because you are under a student visa and you have certain restrictions. There is no culture of Office of Career Services, Career Fairs, or what have you. So you are on your own with your network and your networking opportunities. I mean, you create your networking opportunities. You go outside and search for it. There is nothing that the schools will, there is no institutionalized process for looking for a job. The good thing about the both programs with Spain and France is that they have built-in internships. So that opens up the door for looking for opportunities, basically. With the Spain program, you have during the second year, you have 6 months of an internship in a court. So you really learn how things work in Spain. And then you have 6 months of an internship in a law firm. They try to accommodate you in international law firm, but not necessarily will be the case. And we have to be realistic. The more students we send, the less opportunities will be that you will be, you know, in Ernst & Young or, you know, in a big firm. And you might end up in a local firm, which is really good at the end anyway. With France, in the Master de program, and this is another great reason for taking the Master de program as well, is that you have an internship also, a built-in internship with I think it's with a law firm. It depends on the area.
It depends on your specialty.
It depends on
the specialty,
basically. Yes.
But that's where the advantage of being in Paris itself would be. I mean, if you want to start by... I mean, you will have everything. I mean, 80% of medical practice happen in Paris. So you'll, I mean, if you're motivated, it's kind of easy to find at least people to talk to. And then you have your professors. But there's no, as Macarena has said, there's no care office services. But you can get the same tips by talking to your professor, which are still practicing.
No, you're a WCL student. By being a WCL student, you're still eligible for all the resources that the Office of Career Services have here. And we're starting to build something on this matter. Because these programs are new, we are now starting to worry about what our graduates will be doing after they graduate. So now it's a moment where we're starting, you know, building networks with our WCL alums abroad. We have WCL alumni all over, and not only LLMs, but also JDs working in Paris, working in Madrid, working in Canada. And so we are considering, we are trying to build those bridges to make those contacts available for our students there. Now, whether you will get the work that somebody wants to, the law firms need to want you badly to sponsor your working visa, basically. So as any foreigner in any country, you have an extra work to do. And as I said at the beginning, we can't guarantee that that will happen. So it is a risk that you are taking. But so is, you know, you will be also applying for jobs here. So you can see it as a, oh, this will be very difficult for me, or you can see it as a, I'm opening up more opportunities for me because I am now marketable to more law firms throughout the world. Why am I have to restrict myself to the U.S. when I can, you know, start applying to other countries as well? That's what I can say. Now, you have to bear in mind that your degree will be, as less as you are a European citizen, your degree values as a degree itself. I mean, you are a French lawyer who can practice law in France. You cannot be a German lawyer. Whereas if you're a European citizen, your degree entitles you to work as a lawyer in any other part of the European community. The same with Spain. That doesn't mean that you cannot work in Germany. If a German firm wants you, they will hire you as a, you know, as a foreign counsel. The thing is that you cannot litigate in Germany if you're an American with a being an avocado, for example. Any other questions? Yes.
I came late, so you know, this might have already been answered, but I want to know more about how the Spain program could be almost a bridge to be working in Latin America, and those that I already talked about.
Yeah.
Well, just a little bit.
I can talk to Matt.
No. But what I can tell you is that you have many Latin American countries have agreements with Spain And so your degree, your Spanish degree, may be equivalent and may be transferable to a Latin American country. But you have to do your homework yourself. Don't take my word as official, because those things change, and we don't have direct access to that information.
Okay.
But that's something that you can inquire, and usually happens.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Let me see. The only thing I didn't talk about was that in each case, if you are interested in these programs, I highly encourage you to go, if you haven't done so yet, to go and make an appointment with me so we can go over specifically about your individual interests, and we can see whether this is a good tool or a bad tool, this is what you should do or you should not be doing, and I will explain you more about the application process and so forth. Thank you very much.
The application is due in January.
January 31st.
And is the information online yet?
It is there.
It's on there.
It's updated.
Okay.
Yes.
I was